हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, verses 47 to 61. Seven major dialects. Page 78. Oh, chapter 18. So this is Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, chapter 18. Prakritic recitation. Verses 47 to 61. The seven major dialects, Bhasha, are as follows. Magadhi, Avanti, Prachya, Suraseni, what's the difference? Oh, Saurasaini, Suraseni, Ardha Maghadi, Bahlika, and Dakshinatya. In the dramatic composition, there are besides many less important dialogues, Vibhasha, such as the speeches of the Shakara, Abhiras, Chandalas, Sabaras, Dramidas, Odras, and the lowly speech of the foresters. Use of major dialects. Of these, Magadhi is assigned to guards of the royal harem, or Ardha Magadhi to menials, princes and leaders of bankers' guilds. Pratya is the language of the jester and the like. Avanti is of a gallant crooks, Durta. The heroines and their female friends are also to speak Saurasaini without any exception. To soldiers, gamesters, police chief of the city, and the like should be assigned Dakshinatya and Bahliki. Oh, Dakshinatya, and Bahliki is the native speak of the Kashas who belong to the north.
It means that they in drama speak all those languages?
They use the dialect. Means that it's how you're... It was before it was mentioning about the you have the Sanskrit and its pronunciation. You know, its proper pronunciation. But when you get into the Prakrit, or the derivatives of it, then there's certain letters, they become changed. You know, T goes into D, D's, and things like that. Yeah. So it's just a matter of that and what was the other aspect?
Some are removed while combining both words, some letters.
Oh, yes. Some words become combined, or either they use the original word, but, you know, generally in Prakrit, the grammar is a little simpler. So they'll use the original word. Some then they use the original word but don't pronounce it properly. And then you have they use another word. So if there's words that are used by them, then that would be used instead of, you know. So those who would be speaking the Sanskrit, then they'd always speak like that. You know, so the situations in which the Sanskrit is presented and certain situations in which the Prakrit is presented. So in other words, the point being made is that different groups of people speak in different ways. They have different attitudes. So therefore, they're always going to speak in those ways. So in the modern, you'll say, oh, that's cliche and all that, but that's actually the way it works. You know, but one thing that struck me just on the, you know, these kind of cliched things is that, you know, I mean, it's like when I grew up, you always had the thing when people play cards, you know, when they get serious, especially if there's betting. You know, when they have their cards and looking at it, you know, how they curve them back and everything like that. But if they take out a card and put it down, you know, they take it out between the two fingers and spin it like this. So it spins and hits. And I thought, okay, that's the thing we do here. Then wherever I went in the world where you saw them playing cards, they all did that. So it's just when you play cards, the modes of nature make it that that's what you do. So when you become a guard, you talk in a certain way. You know? Does that make sense? Bankers, they have their own. It doesn't matter where they are in the world, bankers all look the same, talk the same. You know, so there's modes of nature. So that's all they're saying in the drama is you don't make these things up. This is the way it is. Because it says like this, without exception or this and that.
This is also difficulty. Bhakti Vidyan Maharaj, he makes a point for common people to understand Srimad Bhagavatam because it's actually written in three different dialects. One is the normal classical Sanskrit, then there's the section of Vedic Sanskrit, and there's also, it's called Samadhi Bhas. When Shukadev Goswami goes into especially 10th canto, he many pastimes of the Krishna Lila, he goes into Samadhi, so that without the proper guidance we won't understand. So
that's why you have the commentaries. Yeah. So the commentaries is what's going to take it there. But you still study it in that way because otherwise then you don't have the idea that it comes from Shastra. You like sometimes devotees like to simplify and put it into other aspects. That's all right, it's an introduction. But the point is if that becomes the basis of study, then they don't see its original. They don't see the original, how you're trying to bring it to Krishna. It's always about themselves and how to adjust it into their situation. But now, okay, that's their situation today. What about tomorrow as they advance? So then that presentation in the literature won't be able to allow people to advance.
Yeah.
They'll just stay the same. Well, the only thing you'll advance in is pride. Because then I know all this, so I'm a big man in this. Because otherwise, how do you tell the difference? Because the formula is the same. Yeah. So that's why it's important you see is that you have the original, then you have the commentaries, then you have commentaries and commentaries. You know, you have the Bhashyas, then you have the Tikas. So Prabhupada said there'll be commentaries to his commentaries. Because that's just standard. Like that. That's just standard the way it is. So yeah. So then you see it in the line. And then that's why you have classes. Is so then someone can explain it nicely. You know, the discussion, so you've read and then you didn't understand, you can ask questions. You know, so it's like that. Use of minor dialects. Sakari should be assigned to the Sakara and the Shakas, and other groups of the same nature. And to Chandali, and Chandali to the Pulkashas and the like. To coal makers. Oh, charcoal makers, not coal makers. Charcoal makers, hunters, and those who earn their livelihood by collecting wood and leaves should be assigned sabari, as well as the speech of forest dwellers. For those who live in places where elephants, horses, goats, sheep, camels, or cows are kept, abhiri or sabari has been prescribed. And for forest dwellers and the like, dravidi is the language. Odi is to be assigned to diggers of subterranean passages, prison wardens, grooms for horses, and heroes and others like them while in difficulty are also to use magadhi for self-protection. Right? Because when you get into those things, it just takes on a particular nature. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you get one of those big, huge, pickup trucks. You know, it's got double wheels in the back and, you know, the cabin is double and all that. You also have to go out and buy a shotgun. You know, it goes together.
You know? It comes with the gun.
Oh yeah, that would be a good selling point, right? It comes with your own shotgun, right? You know, you even have options of which one you want. Yeah. So these are just the things that these modes of nature are there. And so these have to be done. So you can say, oh, how can you do this and say that they're like, because that's the way it is. You know, it's like if you talk about, let's say, secondhand car salesmen, you know, and that crocodile grin they have, and everybody on the planet understands what you're talking about. It's just the way it works. Yeah. These are the rules regarding the assignment of dialects and plays. Whatever has been omitted here should be gathered by the wise from the popular usage. Yes.
Also, it seems that in these major dialects, by the way they pronounce, use their pronunciation in languages, it match a particular rasa.
Oh.
Like the Prachya, when I was searching it, it's more about Haryana and Punjab, those regions.
Mm-hmm.
Though they look big and then they are, by the way they speak, it actually appears little like, no, like a gesture, comedy type.
They're, okay.
And then, and whereas the, in the south when it mentioned like mostly like Marathi and all, it has that royalty, that's why it is given to the police chief and others.
Mm.
The language itself, how they pronounce and then.
Yeah. So in other words, it's just people from these different areas, the different jobs, they have a particular flavor. So that should be represented. It doesn't work when you have them have another nature. Like that. Does that make sense? That's the idea about the drama. Since it's about the particular rasas being tasted, then the situation goes with that. So with the situation. So this is just the dialect, because we saw before how they walk, how they stand. They all have different moods. All that's to be considered. And then here, then also how they speak. So how they're going to be dressed, how they're going to speak, you know, what situations they're in. All those things are going to be considered, because that then delivers to the audience the particular mood that you're looking for. Yes?
Those who are watching, they understand all that? All those things?
They don't have to understand all that. No, it's just, it's a slight thing. Like, let us just, for example, say...
It's like the slang, we can say?
Let's say like this. Let us say, we're gonna meet the... We're going to go on a tour of, let's say, the museum. So that tour guide's going to talk like they're very educated and very intellectual, whether they are or not. That's just the way you talk. You know, how they stop, how they point out, things like that. Let us say, there's a problem in the neighborhood. We have to talk to the big guy in the local area, right? So now, we go in to speak to him, and he's dressed in his suit and everything. And so if he either speaks in an Italian accent or a Russian accent, then we'll think that's appropriate. You know, if he spoke in a Filipino accent, we go, what's going on here? Can I talk to the big guy? You understand? So it's just, you expect these things. So it's just the way they use the language. That's the main thing that's being brought out here. So, if you go into the detail, for us all it means is that the accent that they use matches the particular activity or the position that they're holding. Does that make sense? And you use it as local language is used. It means the popular usage and all that. It can also adjust according to that. Because these are the standard thing, but if in a particular area you're doing the drama and so this guy always talks in this way, then that's what you use. If you use something else, they think, what's that? So you just want to see that the people doing the different roles, they talk in a particular way. It's just like how the hero talks and how the bad guy talks. You expect them to talk differently. The tone, the attitude, everything is different. Yes.
Also, when it is speaking about using this language, it mostly refers to, like, while in a drama, what they remove, while speaking the Sanskrit, then they may not speak exactly like Bengalis, even they speak Sanskrit, they use, like, they lucky and then...
Yes.
That kind of accent and then flow, how they speak.
Yes.
But when they are using their own different words, it mostly refers to the lower one, which are the what is this called? After the major dialect,
the V-bhashas.
The V-bhashas.
Okay, well, they have their own kind of words.
Their own kind of words.
Okay, so the one will be, that means, as we mentioned, you have the pure Sanskrit, then you have Sanskrit that's pronounced according to dialect, then you're going to have the different words. You know, it's just like, you know, like say if you talk to, you know, somebody off the street, they may talk differently than someone else. You have their own words and that. But it'll be words that people know. You won't pick stuff that nobody knows.
Yes. Like if we see the Ramayana written in Avanti language, even if those who know Sanskrit, they'll understand 70 to 80% of it. Okay. But the current Hindi, because it's the mix of Persian language,
right,
nobody understands. But the original, what we call Hindi, it's more like Avanti language. That's why Madhya Pradesh and parts of Uttar Pradesh,
okay,
those kind of people. And it's very poetic, that's why it's assigned to the gallants.
Okay. Yeah, it's poetic, but it's simple.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just flavors. That's the whole point that's being brought up, is that there are various flavors. You have to see that the flavors of how they speak matches how they're dressed, what the activity they're doing, and everything like that. Because the point is that rasa has a natural form. And so therefore, then you follow those forms, then the audience will appreciate. Not that they have to know the details. They just know it's there, so you know that comes up. So like if we see as somebody speaking in one way and then someone else comes on and speaks in another way, then we know that that's a different position. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So the question, will we be able to experience rasa not knowing the language? Say, for example, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Bengali, but also it's poetry. It's not prose,
mm-hmm,
most of the time. I mean, maximum of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's so subtle, so how can we, you know, experience rasa, which is the message of Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Because you have the chit potency is there, so even whatever language you're studying in, it will come through that. But there's some special taste if you study it in the original. So that's why Prabhupada quotes the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the Westerners will learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes.
Also in the chapter of Rasa, Jiva Goswami, he defines, I think it's in the Priti Sandarbha, for devotees who are advanced, just hearing the name of Lord will bring in all ecstasy. But
okay,
for those who are not advanced, then all the extra things, they add up in the vibhavas, anubhavas and all. But the sthayi, unless we have, so basically all this poetry and everything, they fit in somewhere in the udipanas or, you know, anubhavas somewhere, to add on what you already have. But it's like, it's a part, but it's not the major thing.
Yeah, you still get something. Point is, as you advance, you get more and more. That's the whole point. It's not that, oh, if I know more Sanskrit, more and more logic and all that, I'll understand it. Because I guarantee you is that somebody who's, let's say, studied nicely Sanskrit, studied nicely logic and that, and so they're quite a scholar at it. If we came in these points that we're making in the Sandarbhas or in the Vedanta Sutra, they still wouldn't understand. Because they may know the technicalities of logic, but they're still going to use them in an inductive way. So what they're comparing it to, they can't learn. Or it'll be a difficulty to learn. Because you learn by your experience. So if you've already experienced the devotional understanding, then that means then you'll see these in the context of that spiritual experience. So it's not technically the words and all that are just the natural form to do it. That's why then we hear it. It sounds very nice and all that. Then we hear it in English. Prabhupada will say it in English. But then he'll keep that, you know, the flavor and all that, but he'll explain it in English as much, and the poetic aspects can stay as much as possible. But the point is it's the chit potency that's the main thing being carried. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, you do the best you can. If you have the right attitude, then it'll still work. Like I give an example of that. You have the, you know, I think it's the thing is that the hero and the heroine are sitting at the, whatever it is, at the, you know, modern, I say, wooden table, sitting in their chairs, and they're eating their steamed vegetables and all this and that with their, you know, forks and spoons and all this. And something comes up and it brings it to the point where, because the hero wants to, you know, propose marriage to the heroine. but you know, something, you had some other plan, but then in the conversation it somehow moves in that direction, right? So he's not prepared for it, right? So he doesn't have the arrangement that. So he takes his fork and, you know, skewers the stem of a broccoli, right? You know, from the stem. So when you hold it like this up, then you have the stem of the fork and the broccoli at the top, like a flower. Then he gets down on his knees and all that, and then he proposes. Right? You know this one? No? Okay. No? Okay. So it works for the mood. But the paraphernalia is that you get as close as possible. But it's the attitude that's important. So in other words, the devotional attitude then carries that chit potency, and then if the other things match nicely, then that's good. But if they're not perfect, it still works. That's why it's said that the honest, they accept it even if it's not grammatically perfect and all this and that. So that's why those who are caught up on facts and figures and all that, it'll be a big stumbling block for pure devotion. Does that make sense? So we don't have to worry. It carries. It will work. That's why Prabhupada is saying, is if you have the proper attitude, then you translate, let's say you're translating from English into, you know, local language. When you understand it, that's how you translate. And it'll work. It'll have effect. You see, the books, whatever it is, they make devotees. Like that. And then if at a later time, you know, someone more mature in the understanding of the philosophy and the language can then go back and re-edit and, you know, make a few adjustments to bring up the quality of the language or the clarity of the language, then it's fine. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. But generally speaking, I think most where they've been translated just stays that way because it works. Yes.
We saw in the previous chapter that in the Kavya, poetry, then the rasa and the direct meaning is the soul, and the 10 gunas or the merits, they form the body. So in the 10 gunas, within the 10 gunas, it comes the clarity, and then the madhurya, sweetness, and then vigor. And these three, generally while we're writing, we in one sense take care, but then the ornaments is what misses in other languages, which is very much present in the Sanskrit. But the ornaments are extra decorations. Like, yes, if you have, it's very nice, but if you don't have, still it's kind of okay.
Yeah. Okay. You can catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you say was the rasa and the?
Direct meaning.
And the direct meaning. If those are gotten across, you've gotten what it is. And that form of it, that'll come through that how sweetly is spoken, the directness, the clarity that is spoken, and the, you know, enthusiasm or energy and you know, that's injected within that. That will be the main form. So as long as that's there, you use nice language, and that, then it works. But otherwise, if you have the what do you say again? First?
Ornament?
No, before it.
Gunas, merit.
No, the original. Rasa and?
Rasa and the direct meaning.
And direct meaning. Rasa and the direct meaning. So the what rasa you're projecting is correct, and the direct meaning that comes through that direct meaning, then it works. Then if you have the form, it'll be considered, you know, it'll work very nice as drama. Then you have further things, little details in ornamentation and all that. Those add on to that. That's like if you have the body. So if you have life, it works. Then you have the body that is there, and then you have the ornaments. So what Prabhu is saying is that in going from one language to another, you may lose the ornaments. You know, not have all the ornaments represented. But you don't lose the pleasantness in which it's presented, the directness is when it's presented, the attitude or that mood, that rasa that you're trying to bring across, that can always be presented. And if that's there, it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when someone adds something, all we're saying is they can add in those ornamental aspects. You know, or bring more clarity in the body. But the direct meaning is how it connects to Krishna.
Also, we can connect it. The direct meaning as the Vijnanamaya level and the rasa as the Anandamaya.
Yes.
The basis for...
Yeah. Yeah, so it has the proper spiritual understanding, and it has the you know, the rasa aspect. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful. It's not about the factual thing. So sometimes that comes up more, is that the factual has to be. But it's not about that. Like you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Goswami is explaining Lord Chaitanya's tour, but he's going by different flavors. The flavors of him going into a place and inspiring everybody in Krishna consciousness, him, his interaction maybe with the deities, interaction with devotees, and so those will kind of be grouped together. So it's not necessarily in the chronological order of what leaving Puri and where he went to first and that until he comes back. You know, it's in the order of going through these different flavors that were there in his tour. So that's the most important thing. So that's the life of it. And then he explains that nicely, you know, and makes everything very clear and sweet language like that. And then, you know, because of the Bengali, then there'll be various ornaments and all that will be there. Does that make sense? So if that's caught, so sometimes you get in things, no, but that's not the order, and this didn't happen, and this fact, and that fact, and all these things. And they bring that up to somehow or another stand on the same platform. It's like that's not even an ornament. You know, oh, but without the facts, how can we? It's just like that's a situational thing that doesn't necessarily, it may be important to you, but it's not necessarily important to everybody else that's there. You know, it's like the kirtan's going on and all that. And Lord Chaitanya is, you know, in ecstasy, and the devotees are in ecstasy, and, you know, this many mridanga players, this many kartal players, this person's leading the kirtan with these assistants, this is the head dancer. Does it matter if the jalebi shop is open or not? You know what I'm saying? For us, it might be important. But that's the thing, is people bring up, oh no, but this and that, and how can I, you know, but that's not reality. You know, these things aren't important. You know, the political considerations, but, you know, Orissa in this time, and then, you know, this was happening, and that was happening, and how can this, and, you know, is that kind of stuff? You know, so we bring in things that actually, you know, pranamoyic or lower elements from our own perspective. And they may be important to us, and then that's the important thing for everything. You know, it's just like, let's say there's something I really like, a food. And there's other things that, you know, are okay. Now let's say I get into take a political stand regarding food. Am I going to take it on everything, including the things I really like? Or am I going to tend to apply it to the other things that I don't mind if there's an adjustment? The things I really like, somehow or another, I just don't bring it up. In other words, if no one brings it up, I'm not bringing it up. If someone brings it up, then I may make a whole scene out of it. But then if I'm not going to eat it, nobody's going to eat it, and so the shop's got to close. You understand? So, but that's the thing, is that we're not getting into what's the purpose? How does it connect back to Krishna? How does it... Things like this. We'll take the political platform that's the most important, or the economic, that's the most important. You know, the social issue, that's the most important, when these aren't the most important. You know, that we're servants of Krishna, and that according to our duty, we're serving Krishna. Right? Like you see, is that as a general thing, the Vaishnavas are non-violent. But we see, you know, when it came to war, and Arjuna as a Kshatriya, then he's trying to give up his duties, right, as a Kshatriya, and so it's not proper. But we see in other situations where devotees might be battling over something, and Prabhupada just says, this is not important. So there's going to be this adjustment according to what's favorable to Krishna, what's pleasurable to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Vriti, having explained in detail the two types of recitation, Sanskrit and Prakrit, and their applications and expressions of sentiments, The next chapter deals on the modes of addressal of people of different stature and the different qualities of recitation. Chapter 19, the six features of recitation. Adhyaya Prakashika. The current chapter elaborates on the modes of addressal of the males and females according to their statures in varna and ashram, age, qualities, etc. Right? Everything that's mentioned, that Manu mentions, that you have to consider. Right? Just all the social. Also, the choice for names for characters according to their occupation and lineage is detailed. After this, there is elucidation on the six features of recitation and their appropriate application according to the different sentiments. The six features of recitation include 1. The seven notes. 2. The three voice measurements of pitches, chest, throat, and head. 3. The two intonations. 4. The four varnas or accents. 5. The six alankars of a note. 5. The six alankars of a note. I was going to say 7. No, because we already said 6. 6. The six limbs of enunciation or oration. All the actors should have knowledge of these six features of recitation for bringing out the right sentiments in the play through apt deliverance of the dialogues according to the situation to attain the desired results in the dramatic performance. Right, so now it's going to be the features of how they're going to say these things. So it's not that here we've just said what words and how those, what kind of like dialects or accents are going to use, you know. But now it'll be how that's delivered. Right, so the actors have to know this. It means they'll know all the other things, but they may not know this one goes with that. They just know how to speak it. And they know this, and then the director will say, no, for this use this. You know, yes.
So for the whole science, basically, the director and the script writer, they should know.
They should know.
Best all they may know according to whatever they can.
Yeah, it means they'll know the techniques, but they don't necessarily know the combinations for rasa. Yeah. So if the director and the script writer know it, the script will be correct, and then the director will make the presentation correct. So if there's something like, you know, and let's say those who do the makeup and dressing and all that, they'll know how to do those things, but they may not, the director may say, no, don't use this, use that, or things to just bring it out. So, yeah.
And probably the actor. The actors are selected according to their own nature.
Yes, according. Who's going to be best in certain things, and which of these aspects, and which dialects, and that. You know, in other words, someone who can't speak Sanskrit, we wouldn't give him the Sanskrit role.
Yes.
You know? If he can only speak slang, you give him the slang roles.
Yeah. One famous singer, in an interview in South, he was sharing that for a particular song, then he was asked to sing, and he sang it. And he sang to the best of his capacity, and he's like a very sweet, melodious singer.
Mm-hmm.
But the director wasn't satisfied. He asked another singer, who is his, like, no,
junior.
same stature, to sing. But he's not more melody, he has like some gravity and all. But then when he sang, this person is saying, I understood, it's the mood which he created in the song was completely different.
Right.
Though he was singing, and he trained him to sing. The whole thing, because he already learned it,
right.
He's the one who trained him. But when he sang, he could also feel the difference.
Yes.
And he said, that's why the director asked, and
then it
came out much better than what I would have sang.
Yeah, yeah.
So the directors know the overall mood rather than
individuals
make over it.
Yes. So we see as if the whole point is that the audience is able to appreciate what's going on. Then if that will create that, then why wouldn't you go with that? It's not a matter of no, but I'm the better singer and this, I should be singing. And that, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, so certain moods, certain things go with certain things, and that's the way it was. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 20, modes of addressing males. Okay, so this is the six features will be a little later. Okay, six features and that's... Okay, so this is modes of addressing males, then modes of addressing women. Okay. These are, O best of the Brahmanas, the rules on the use of language in a drama. Now listen about the rules of popular modes of address, or the manner in which persons of equal, superior, or inferior status in a play are to be addressed by those of superior, the medium, or inferior class. Right? Because you have have, if you're having two people, they can be of superior, middling, or lower, and the other person's like that. So you have nine ways that they could interact.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. As the great sages are adorable, even to the gods, they are to be addressed as Holy One, Bhagavan. And the wives are also to be similarly addressed. Gods, spiritual preceptors, and persons observing varied vows are to be addressed as Holy One, Bhagavan, by men as well as women. The Brahman is to be addressed as Noble One, Arya. Oh, the Brahman is to be addressed as Noble One, Arya. And the king is to be addressed as Great King, Maharaja. The teacher is to be addressed as Professor, Acharya. And an old man is to be addressed as Father, Tata.
In our local languages in South, Tata means grandfather.
Okay. Yeah, but I think the main thing is that it has the, it also carries that aspect of kind of like closeness and everything. Like that. So it could be your father, the grandfather, it could be an uncle, it could be even a friend who's senior. It all use that.
So this way there is for the Bhagavan aspect. This we address for example Bhagavan Narada Muni Bhagavan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that because of this.
Yes, yes. That's why you see the point is they're known that because they're greatly powerful personalities. So they have so many opulences. Compared to us, then it's very great. But compared to Krishna, it's not. So therefore, where we know is Bhagavan means Krishna. And others, if they're representing and all that, then they make. Because like Narad Muni is an incarnation, Brahma is an incarnation, Shiva is an incarnation. You know, in different capacities. But they're not the Swayam Bhagavan. So therefore, they don't get that title. That'll be less. Yeah.
Also,
it just means in the play. Out on the street, you might have your local usage.
Yes.
Like we have our usage, how we use these.
Yes.
But the point is that for the play, then it's very clear. As soon as you hear this, you know they're in this status. Because
yes.
Otherwise, it may confuse where they belong. Because how does rasa taste it if you don't understand what's... There has to be that clarity.
Yes.
Right? That's where the taste comes. So that's why it's a difficulty in these... contemporary kind of things, they're trying to like hide those and don't show it and all that, and thinking they're being very unique and intellectual and so different from everybody else, and no one understands, and then it bombs.
Yes.
Right? And then they can't understand why. And you know, people have their theories, it's this, it's that, but it's actually because it's just not clear what's going on. No one knows what's going on. You know, does that make sense? Maybe that, yeah. You know, so it's like say you may have an action sequence and something's going on. It's a very nicely done action sequence. But unfortunately, it's not clear why it's going on. And so even though it's executed very well, you don't know why. So therefore, you can't relate to it. And so then it's not that good. Well, if you exactly know who's who and what's going on, then it's already there. So that's the idea, is that you're taking people along on this ride, not taking them for a ride. Even though you're using the same term, it means two different things. Yeah, like that.
For us to play a nice drama is the same thing that to live our life.
Yeah, yeah. It means all these things. These are given because these are actually how humans interact. Oh, a new stuff. Okay.
They're pretty.
Yeah. You know, when it's hotter, that's when we wear bed sheets. When it's cold, then we wear blankets. Right? Brahmins may address the kings at their pleasure by their names. It means that they feel they can use the names or not, or like this. This should be tolerated, for the Brahmins are to be adored by the kings. So, in other words, if the Brahmin calls him by name, the king doesn't get upset, because the Brahmins are senior to him.
Yes.
Or if they call him formally, then they do. So it might be that when he's in the court, then they may deal with him formally. you know, when they're talking to him not formally, they may talk to him by his name. So that's to be it's.
Here it is said that we address a Greek king by the word Maharaj.
Yes.
So how a Greek king relate to a sannyasi? Maharaj.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, that's what we mean by local usage. Because it's also their that superior position. So even Brahmins,
yeah.
You know, like in North, Brahmins are called Maharaj, especially than the ones who cook, you know, the cooks, professional Brahmin cooks, they're all Maharaj.
Maharaj is used like no head of institution, head of anything.
Hmm.
Like generally we use Maharaj because it represents head of the institution.
Society, yeah. Because sannyasi is head of society, yeah. Like that. So like that. That's just, you have to see. It has that connection. But that's, it also has its local usage. So, okay. Ministers be addressed by Brahmins as counselor, amatya, or minister, sachiva, and other persons inferior to Brahmins is also to be addressed as sir, arya. Oh, and by other person inferior to Brahmins, he is means the Brahmin, is to be addressed as sir, arya.
No, the minister. Okay.
Minister is addressed by counselor in that. And by other persons inferior to Brahmins, he is to always be addressed as Sir, Arya. So in other words, it may be the Brahmin who is senior, he'll call him, or equal, he'll call him a counselor, minister, like this. But if they're junior, then they'll call him Arya, because he's a Brahmin. You know, like that. One is to accost one's... So, he has that. So someone who's senior, then he'll call him by their positions, or this or that. But if he's junior to them, then they'll always just call him that they're Arya, that they're senior. Like that. It's not necessarily the counselor or this or that. It's just that they're senior. One is to accost one's equals by the name with which they are styled. You know. So in other words, whatever is their position, that's how you call them. A superior person may, however, be addressed or referred to by names to by name by inferior persons when the latter are privileged to do so. So the juniors may be, but they're close, so they privilege means no, just call me this, you know. Oh, Mr. This, no, just call me like that. Then you can say.
Yes.
But then even then you have to be careful.
Yes.
If it's a formal situation, you won't do that.
Yes.
That. Men and women in one's employment and artisans and artists are to be addressed as such. In other words, what I use, for example, according to their status. A respected person will be addressed as honored sir, bhava. And a person slightly less so as comrade, marshak or marsha. Marsha. Is that what marsha means? Comrade. Huh?
Marsha.
Yeah.
It's the name of a famous Russian poet.
Okay. It means comrade. A person of equal status should be addressed as brother, vayasya, and a low person as hey man, hum ho. Yo. Okay. I think the boys, you see them a lot of times like that, as they use this hum ho. You know, because they're always playing roles and stuff like that. So, because it also gives some flavor, because then you have, otherwise you want to play some drama, like the kids want to play drama. You have a general, then you have ways to call them. They're senior, junior. So if he's the king, then he's the Maharaj, and he calls the others, hey, hum ho, you know, this and that. So then they can do all that stuff.
But he's developing a relationship.
Yeah. The chariot rider should always be addressed by the charioteer as long-lived one, Ayushman, because if he dies, he's not going to necessarily do well. that's very good. An ascetic, or a person who has attained beatitude, Prasanta, is to be addressed as Blessed One, Sadho. So Sadhan is Blessed One.
Sadho?
Yeah. Sadhu. Yes, Sadhu. So that means, oh, Blessed One. So that means then they're addressing the patriarchs as Blessed Ones. You know, as Sadhus. The crown prince is to be addressed as Sire, Swamin. And other princes as Young Master, Bhartri Dharaka. Yeah, because other princes, Young Master. So even you see, I've seen it in houses where you have things like, you have the servants. You know, these are family servants. They've been there for, you know, last 30, 40 years. But then you have the 3-year-old kid, the son of the, you know, the guy. And he's addressed as Master, the little master. You know, like that. So that's just the way it is. So, but that 3-year-old tells this 50-year-old guy what he wants, and the 50-year-old guy does it. You know? So it's just, you have that relationship. That's the whole, that's the thing about these things. It establishes.
We've been to Terkadamba, and they had this one sadhu that stayed there for a long time. And then another sadhu joined him, also a long time ago, but he's called Chota Baba.
Chota Baba.
He's not Chota Baba at all.
He's probably even bigger than the other guy.
No, but he's tall.
Okay.
And also he's probably in his 40s, 50s. That one is older, but still this is Chota Baba.
Choto. Oh, no. It's always like that.
Nobody knows his name.
Chota Baba. Yeah, yeah. Chota Baba and Poro Baba. Or Baba and Chota Baba, however it comes out. You know, it's like the brothers. They have their position. You know, even they're, you know, 50 years old, he's still the little one. Right? Inferior persons are to be addressed as Pleasing One, Somya, Auspicious Looking One, Bhadramukha, and such terms should be preceded by O, Hey. Like that. Oh, Pleasing One. Oh, Auspicious Looking One. And things like that. So this is juniors. Like that. So you see, it's always a nice way they do it. In a play, a person is to be addressed by a term appropriate to his birth or to the vocation. Right? So, in other words, it's by, generally speaking, you know, the varnashram aspects are going to be that they have the qualifications. But as long as there's nothing against the qualification, if they're born in particular, you deal with them like that. And then later, you know, as they grow up or like that, then you deal. But if socially accepted in a particular way, whether they're qualified or not, that's how they're dealt. You have a king, he's a bad king, you still call him, you know, Maharaj.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
You know, like that. You know, unless you're Prahlad Maharaj, then it's, oh, best of the demons.
Yeah.
You know, because he was the head of all the Adityas and Dhanavas, so then he is, you know.
But he used adjectives, that's where, like Patritrasa, the blind king.
The blind king, yes.
And it's not just about his physically being blind, but he's blind to the reality.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, otherwise.
And Duryodhana, you know, the one who is called Duryodhana because he tortures everyone.
Yes. His rat badness.
Adjective changes.
Yeah. In a play, a person is to be addressed by a term appropriate to his birth or to the vocation, art or learning practiced by him. Right? You know, it's just like it's like the taxi driver. You call him Taxi Walla.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an offense. You know, it's like, oh, taxi. You know, you can even just say taxi. Oh, taxi. You know, you're talking to the guy, but, you know. A disciple or son is to be addressed by the guru or father as child, vatsa, son, putarka, father, tata, or by his own name or clan name, gotra. Like here, it's also, sometimes the kids are called tata, father. So that means the child can be called Tata, the father can be called Tata, grandfather, the uncle, you know, anything like that. So it's just a word of endearment. You just have to. But, Or, yeah, or by their gotra or clan, just like Nala, he was the king of the Nishadas, so he'd be called Nishada. You know, or sometimes they're called by their place. You know.
The Kauravas.
Yeah, the Kauravas, the line, the dynasty, yeah. or the area. I can't remember the names. If they come from that area, then they're called that.
Andakas.
Yes, Andakas are from the. So you just have these things, you know, Bengali, they're from the place. You know, so you could call them like that. You know. Yeah.
Like now, when you say, for example, Gudiya Vaishnava.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's there. But he was talking about when you're talking to someone, a junior to you. You know, but it's all said in affection. You know, it's just like, say, you're working with a bunch of different devotees from different places that are junior. Yeah. One's from Bengal, one's from Gujarat, one's from this and that. Yeah. So, yeah, the Gujarat guy, you might call him, hey, Guju, you know. Yeah. You know, go here, or, oh, Bengali, you know, like this. Or, you know, or Bangla, you know. Yeah. Or if you really want to get into Bengali, you know, that's it. And so it's just a funny thing like that.
Yeah.
But it's done with affection, because you know this guy eats rice, you know, or the other guy eats the sweets, you know. So, Buddhist and Jain, Nirgrantha means they don't follow the shastras. Right? That's the point of Nirgrantha. Monks are to be addressed as Blessed Sir, Bhadanta, right? You know, so therefore, then, yeah. So anybody who's a monk or this or that, so that's why you'd respect anyone of us. Persons of other sects will be addressed by terms enjoined by their own rules. Right? So therefore there, draw a blessed sir, then you can deal with any of the Buddhist or Jain, then that'll be fine. Yeah. But let's say if there's someone else, then like let's say Christian, you call them father.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think the you know, so different ones you have what you can call them.
Yeah.
Okay. The king is to be addressed by his servants as well as his subjects, his lord, Deva. But when he is an emperor, he is always to be addressed by his servants as sire, Bhatta. Because Bhatta means, you know, above that. But king of kings. The king is to be addressed by sages, Rishi, as king, Rajan. Right? So he's not Bhatta there, because he may be amongst for the people, but for them he's a junior. Or by the patronymic term, you know, O son of Kuru, or, you know, O Bharata, or like that. The king, and he should be addressed as friend, Vayasya, or king, Rajan, by the jester. So you can call him king, you can also call him friend, depending upon the mood and depending upon, does he feel lucky, right? You know, yes. The queen and her maids are to be addressed by him as Lady Pavati. The jester, so he always has to call him Bhavati. He never jokes with him and calls him by something else. So they're always Lady. It doesn't matter, because you know that women get too easily insulted. While the king, he's his jester, you know, so he has to tolerate it. You know. The jester is to be addressed by the king by his name or as friend. Vayasya. He either calls him by his whatever his name is, or whatever he's called, is like that, or by his as friend. By all women in their youth, the husband should be addressed as noble one's son, Aryaputra. But in other cases, the husband is addressed simply as noble one, Arya. Right. So And in case of his being a king, he may be addressed as great king, Maharaja also. Like that. The elder brother should be addressed as noble one, Arya, and the younger brother like one's son. So that means then you have, like you said, Vatsa, Putraka, Tata, you know, like that, or the you know, the Gotra name. Like a lot of times you see is the youngest one of all the brothers, and he's always called by the name that refers to, like, you know, the old man or the father or this or that. Or, is that, you know, yeah. These are all the modes of address to be used to male characters in a play. verses 21 to 29, modes of addressing women. I shall now speak of the modes of address to be used to four female characters in a play. Female ascetics and goddesses are to be addressed as holy lady, Bhagavati. Wives of respectable seniors and of king's officers, Staniya, are to be addressed as lady, Bhavati. Right? You see, before the gesture, he always calls everyone in the palace Bhavati. An accessible woman, Gamya, is to be addressed as gentlewoman, Badre. And an old lady as mother, Amba. In a play, king's wives are to be addressed by their servants and attendants as mistress, Bhatani, madam, Swamini, and lady, Devi. Of these, the term lady, Devi, should be applied to the chief queen, Mahishi, by her servants as well as by the king. Right, so he would also then say, because then by him calling him that, then it establishes her amongst all the other queens. Right? The remaining wives of the king may be addressed as madam, Swamini. Right, so she's in a different position. Mm-hmm. The first one is that, so you see, is like Rukmini, then she would be the Devi or like that. Well, the others would be Swamini. Or, you know, or like this. So, yeah. But you see, is that they're always dealt. It's always respectful.
Yes.
Yeah, like that.
So now, it means in discussion, everybody must know the position of everyone.
Yes, that's why it's generally is by. It's either known or it's by the dress or these other things. That's why it's said, Manu says that you should dress appropriate to your position. You know, so that's why we have some little things like that. And so we have some general terms because we see everybody is respectful, so then we have a very much more simple thing. But then, you know, you say Prabhu or Maharaj or this or that. I see so many times, like at the festival, I'll be walking along. The brahmacharis are just there, you know, and they're walking the other way, but they're keeping this stone cold face, you know. They don't know who I am, never seen me before, right? They're just walking like this, keeping cool. But as soon as I pass, they look like this.
Yes.
Because they want to see, is he wearing a dhoti or a lungi?
Yes. Yes.
Right? And if you're wearing a lungi, they'll offer obeisance. If it's a dhoti, they just keep cool and just keep walking. Like that. So you get these funny. Yeah.
This is why, you know, you need someone who informs the population.
Yeah. Well, you also have these aspects. You know, the brahmacharis, and they're dressed more simple and all that, you know, or the saffron, or even if white, it's simple. Grihasthas, they can wear more elaborate, or it's more refined. You know, even if it's simple, it's more refined. You know, it'll be tasteful. Well, the brahmacharis are overdressed, and generally it's not tasteful, like that. You know, so you're going to have these things. So you have some, and then accordingly. But in the Vedic, it would be much more obvious. It would be much, much clearer how they dressed and that, you know, so that you knew they were... Like the Pandavas dressed like Brahmins, they all thought they were Brahmins. So it's very obvious. Brahmins dressed like this. Kshatriyas like this. Vaishyas like this. Shudras like this. And so it just makes it work very nicely. But since for the Vaishnavas, that's not so important because everybody is devotees, so then we don't have to make such distinctions. But it's not so important. Because right? Yeah. We're dealing all on the ashram side. What you see here is that in the general, you have to include the varna side. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.